This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. If you think back a couple weeks ago, that great event we had over at the Knack, Jim Worthington, our host, was just raving about what our next guest did during the presidential election and what he does and what he might do in various roles coming up. He represents Pennsylvania's 9th District. Congressman Dan Muser is back with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Congressman, welcome back. Merry Christmas and thanks for joining us.
Tom, great to be with you, and Merry Christmas season to you as well.
Well, I told you, Representative, I felt for you. You were on Fox, and, you know, you think it's a home court. If it was on a Saturday, I happened to see you. You may have been at an airport even. And suddenly you were jumped by one of the Fox hosts, allegedly newsworthy, and you were on your feet, were brilliant in talking about Trump in context. And now we're seeing the benefit of all that work. And I'm told that you particularly are involved in scrutinizing what Vivek and Elon Musk are cooking up. Is the major thing that listeners are going to see here the cost cutting or the long-term thing, I think, that has impact, the deregulation, cutting out things that you can't believe are regulating American businesses?
Yeah, Dom, what you're referencing was an interview that was on Fox that you thought was going to be friendly as I was entering the second Butler rally and I was at the first.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, the host thought it was a good idea to question me and criticize the fact that we were just trying to make our voter rolls as identifiable and ID proof as possible, and it wouldn't suppress anyone, yet for some reason or another, they felt that that was going too far. So it, clearly it wasn't. We ended up having a fair election. That's only because we put all kinds of pressure on those that were, frankly, trying to weigh it one way rather than another. But there really wasn't the problem, so people can know that we had trust but verify, right? That's the policy that we carried out. But hey, you know what? Moving along, I mean, this is all about now executing on the president's America First agenda, and it's going to happen. And nothing happens easily, but, I mean, the president has all the leadership skills, right? I mean, first of all, he's just been around, so he knows how to carry a he doesn't talk so softly, but he definitely knows how to carry the right size stick, and he knows how to use it. He knows how to inform people as to what could happen, and they know he means it if something doesn't make sense for the United States of America. And we're simply not going to be pushed around any longer, whether it's on trade, whether it's on spending for the Ukraine, whether it's on dealing with China. And heck, even our so-called allies in Europe or Mexico, which we have an unbelievable border crisis, or even Canada. So look, we're going to have a great economy. National security is going to be get a lot stronger. We're going to have domestic energy dominance. We're going to have a secure border. None of these things are going to be easy, but it's all coming.
Well, I think the border, though, I differ with you a little bit there, and I didn't mean to say I differ. You said something, but it is going to be relatively easy to get it much better. Just go back to what Trump did before in the beginning. There's going to be other hard work, but that worked We know what to do. Having the will to do it, he did. He was supported. Mm-hmm. And it made a huge difference. Stay in Mexico, I'm talking about.
Yeah, oh, I know what you mean. But I will tell you this, though. The president also got the cooperation of the then Mexico president. And they did put 15,000 to 20,000 mm-hmm. of the Mexican military on their southern border and northern border. So that's where the tariffs come in. That, you know, that's where the stick comes in. They need to cooperate with us in order to secure this border. And I will tell you this. Mexico is a lot more worse off than it was 4 years ago. These cartels have taken over. These cartels have assassinated or murdering politicians. I mean, you know, there's reason to believe that the current president of Mexico is very influenced by the cartels. So once again, it's not a walk in the park. The president's going to achieve it. And it's going to be done through deterrence. It's going to be through our own border security. It is going to be done through deportation, which is also a deterrence. It's going to be crackdown on cartels. It's going to be enforcing our asylum laws. But the remain in Mexico part is crucial here, and that needs the cooperation of Mexico. But once again, a guy like Joe Biden can't do it. Anthony Blinken can't do it. Jake Sullivan, who frankly has been running the White House lately, can't do it. President Trump and his team are going to get it done for the American people.
Now, you mentioned the team. You're not advising consent as Senate is, but certainly you're observing these people. Maybe you've conferred on some of them. Tell me, I have my own top five here where I think, wow, this really fits. It ought to be like a Hall of Fame vote for Babe Ruth, for at least Stefanik to be UN ambassador. But some of these, I realize there's going to be a battle. What do you see? Where will the battles be, do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. Marco Rubio, Kristi Noem, John Ratcliffe, Lee Zeldin, Elise, as you mentioned, all people we know so well. Tulsi Gabbard, Mike Huckabee over in Israel, Susie Wiles, the chief of staff. I mean, the list goes on of super quality people. My good friend Mike Waltz, a national security advisor. So there's a heck of a team. Pete Hegseth is an impressive guy. I mean, he's smart. He went over with the president what the president's vision is, what the president's plan is, and President Trump is convinced Pete is the right person to lead his plan, because it is President Trump's plan for our Defense Department, for the Pentagon, and for how we handle ourselves worldwide, and how we, you know, recruitment is so down at within all of our military services. Believe it or not, you know, well, you would believe this, of all the, you know, the things that they pull with numbers and manipulation, you know, they say recruitment isn't that far down. It's only because they lowered the standards. They lowered the level, for crying out loud. Everything they do has been smoke and mirrors. So we need to change that. And a guy like Pete got the energy, enthusiasm, work ethic. He's gonna bring it. He's going to bring recruitment up, and he's going to carry out President Trump's plan for a super strong and dominant American Department of Defense.
Without a doubt. Now, but closer to home here in Pennsylvania, I go way back with Josh Shapiro as far as jousting, back to when he was a representative before any of this happened, you know, all the talk with him. And I see how much of a chameleon he is and how clever he's been. The issue I think he's going to face maybe this year is going to be the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. If we can get it through the House and the Senate, it'll get through. Because I don't think he can sign it, and vetoing it would be incredibly bad idea. But you are somebody who is in the upper level. It might take him on in the upcoming governor's race. So give me a sense of what you might be, you know, noodling around at this point and how you think he should be challenged.
Well, thanks, Dom. Well, look, you know what? I'm tired, and all Pennsylvanians should be, of being in the second tier, if not third tier, of states. Mm-hmm. Tired of hearing about how great Florida and Texas and Georgia and the Carolinas and Tennessee and Utah and Indiana are at attracting businesses and attracting young people. We need to turn this around. Wolf didn't do it. Wolf set us back. Josh said he was going to do it, but where's the vision? Where's the plan? Where's the execution? I mean, everything I see is putting out fires, is transactional, and a lot of talk and no action. They even talk about how they're going to straighten out the agencies, the regulatory environment in Pennsylvania. That's not happened, and it's been a couple of years now. So look, we need a leadership, kind of like, you know, like President Trump. I mean, having a clear vision, a clear plan, and clear execution, and an incredible sense of urgency, and using the authority that they have in order to get these things done. You know, I did work in the Corbett administration. I saw the positives and I saw the negatives. I saw what we were able to do at Department of Revenue. These agencies need to work for Pennsylvanians, not against, not even be neutral. They got to be on the side mm-hmm. of small business, not against them. And that's not the case. And we need to follow the model of even like in Indiana or certainly a Florida. Let's do what they do first and then advance from there. And it is taxes, it is regulations, it is energy policy, it's all these things. And here you are talking about something with Title IX and women and guys and women's sports. I mean, that's ridiculous. The Pennsylvanians are completely against that. That should be a no-brainer. And it goes to show you that, unfortunately, Governor Shapiro was more tied to his ideology and in line with the Kamala Harris vision of things than what's best for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and our residents and our growth. So I think we could do very, very well with focused, completely involved leadership, knowing what needs to be done, being very close to business, both small and large, being very close to the people, and making sure all of our agencies that are under, by the way, the governor's purview, work for the people every single day.
Well, we like the model, and we like, hopefully, that hat is going to be in the ring at some point. So let's continue the conversation with you. Where's the best place for listeners? They know of you now during the last 6 months here in the Philadelphia surrounding area. Where's the best place to learn more about you?
Our Facebook, just simply Congressman Dan Muser, is probably the best place to start. We're on Truth Social. And like Tom's guy, go ahead, say it. At Rhett Muser on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Wait a minute, you're not allowed to say that? What is, oh, you got to have
no,
a guy.
No, I
you
just,
forget him, yeah, yeah.
Dan Muser for Congress, Congressman Dan Muser. Go on Truth Social under Muser. You're going to find us, and we want to find you.
Well, thanks to the comps guy, too. Merry Christmas to him, too, Congressman. Thank you, and please keep us in your loop now. Any developments, we want to hear from you.
Dom, you're the best. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
A great Christmas.
Thank you very much, Representative Dan Muser. It's like Dan in my ear. You got to go to break. Representative Dan Murawski. All right, Dan, we never got your embarrassment to your tribe. Henry jumped in with Caligula, but uh-huh. We had a time pressure. O'Reilly was there.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Well, first off, let me get some polka music going because I got that's not polka. Where's my polka? Here we go. Yes. Gotta love my Polish heritage, Dom.
Yes.
So how about first I take off, hold on, let me make sure I get this right. Martha Helen Kostchyra.
Okay.
I should be able to pronounce the Polish last name there.
Put a couple pierogies in
Martha
there, yes.
Helen, she's probably heck of a good pierogi maker, yeah, I gotta say, yeah. Because Martha Helen Kostchyra went to jail for a while, became friends with Snoop Dogg, and prior to all that, was well known as Martha Stewart, Dom.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Martha Stewart, I remember when she went to the Big House. It was quite a spectacle, yeah.
So that's kind of a silly one. I don't want to put them together because this guy is just straight up evil. But how about, let's all stand and applaud at the Oscars for this guy, Roman Polanski.
Yeah, that's good one. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Is he Polish, though? I'm not sure if it was another Eastern European.
No, he's Polish.
He's Polish, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good director, but yeah. All right, those are two very good ones. Somebody who is an embarrassment to your tribe, your ethnic group, Irish, Polish, Italian. I see somebody up here. I think it must be German. Let's take a fun one. Let's go to Dan in Upper Darby. All right, Dan, who's yours?
Hello. I'm Irish Catholic, and the biggest embarrassment to me is Joe Biden. The way he screwed this country up. Oh, my God. I can't believe he's Irish.
Well,
he's my biggest embarrassment.
Well, there's
Don.
Only been two Irish presidents, right? Irish Catholic, and that's Kennedy and Joe Biden. And, yeah, Biden has to be the lesser Irish Catholic, I'd say.
Right. Why can't he be another ethnic group?
Very well put. That's exactly what we wanted. Why do we have to claim this person in our ranks? All right, so we got Biden, we got De Niro, Henry had Caligula, you heard Dan's, Martha Stewart, and also Polanski was a really good one. We took Pelosi, Mussolini, De Niro, the mob off. Not a person, but the whole, you know, enterprise. That was Rose's contribution, Dan.
Which one?
She said that, the mob today. She said that before, she's taking them off. Yeah, what an embarrassment.
And that day may never come. I'll call upon you to do a service for me.
All right, there you go. All right, some people are in South Philly might be proud of them. That's a mistake. By the way, you talk about false.
Well, hold on. Do you take pride in the film Godfather?
Yeah, it's a work of art. Yeah.
But it's a mob film.
Yes, that's just the underlying, that's the vehicle. All right, so might be hypocritical there. I hear you.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead. I don't want an impending zombie apocalypse, right?
So. Right, exactly. Yeah, it's all right.
I'll give you some defense there.
I'm watching The Penguin. I don't want to end up in Gotham.
Right, there you go. Nice try. McDonald's. Remember this happened when Trump went to the McDonald's over in Feasterville? McDonald's is flooded. They have to shut it down with negative reviews. The McDonald's in Altoona. Because that's where Luigi Mangione was arrested. A tipster is targeted there. Somebody who spotted him there. My God. He's a maniac. What in the world is going on here with this guy? The eyebrows are a bit too much for me, too. Just another little quirky thing here.
I was going to say, those are some quick-growing eyebrows
that guy has. Exactly. 855-839-1210. You get on board. You can jump in. We'll play a little bit more of Scott Presler on Fox and Friends today and take your calls on this. And then at 1:30, State Senator Testa with us. We're going to talk with him about Phil Murphy and lip balm. Now, Phil Murphy yesterday signing this, we're not going to let you ban books in New Jersey. Is that really what it is? No. It's protection of librarians that are out of control. That part's true. But it's really protecting books in libraries that shouldn't be protected. Parents are right about that. That's all straight ahead. Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. 855-839-1210. You get on board. Oh, just the name alone. All right, let's go to Stephen Langhorne on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Steve, good afternoon. What do you have today?
Hey, Dom and Dan. You said that you wanted to hear from somebody of your own tribe, and I thought of little Nicky Scarfo.
Yeah, why did you choose him?
Because anybody that can, he liked knives, and anybody that can look you in the eye and cut you up is so different than somebody who would shoot you from like 100 yards with a rifle or something. It takes a different kind of a squirrely devil to do that.
That's a good point, Dan. True story. I was at WWDB. I was kind of breaking in at that point. Scarfo was infamous in the area. And I may have said some stuff. You know, it was kind of challenging. The guy that was on after me at that point saying, Nicky's not going to like that, tells me in the hallway. Like,
threats?
What the hell? You know, can you imagine? I thought, well, it's the talk radio. What's going to happen here?
You get a call in the middle of the night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it wasn't a regular host, but it was pretty interesting, you know, particularly when you don't know the business and you think, wow, this is something you got to watch here.
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. All right. Here's a little bit more of Scott Presler, Dan. And again, you got to see this with Ducey today.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Dropping deuces.
They should just let Brian Kilmeade interview him today. This is Presler talking a little bit more about what his plans are in Jersey, right?
Yeah. Let's do where he talks about going to the beach and all
the
shows.
Yes, the beach.
Yeah.
Yes.
Phil Murphy, who is a Democrat. When he ran for re-election in 2021,
Jack Cittarelli, the Republican, just he only lost by, I think, a little more, maybe 3.2%. So in this deep blue state, the Democrat almost lost. And it was the same year that Governor Youngkin down in Virginia was able to make some hay. New Jersey has really high taxes, and a lot of I live in New Jersey. Nobody really likes that. So if you can make some headway there, that's probably going to be one of the topics.
Well, look at the similarities. 2020 in Pennsylvania was decided by 80,000 votes. 2021 in New Jersey was decided by 84,000 votes. Right. MPA, we went after truckers and hunters and Amish and veterans. And New Jersey, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to the farmers markets and veteran of foreign wars halls. And you'll see us at the beach and courting the trucker vote. I want New Jersey folks to know that if every single Trump voter that came out in 2024, if you commit to voting on Tuesday, November 4th, 2025, you have the power to flip that New Jersey governorship from blue to red. And I encourage everyone, commit to vote and go to earlyvoteaction.com, sign up with us, and we would love to work with you to make sure that we're turning the tide in the great state of New Jersey.
Well, you know, Scott, as you look ahead to the next 4 years, Donald Trump may actually help you out a lot. You know, he's made a lot of suggestions, things that he would like to get done. Sounds like he's going to try to do them in the first 100 days. If people in New Jersey and across the country see him making hay, they're going to go, you know what? Maybe that side, maybe the red side is the side I should look at.
Now, that part is absolutely true. That's why New Jersey is going to be pivotal in addition to everything else. Of course, you know, the Republican primary is where the decision is. Are people going to look and say, which one of these guys, there are four, but two main ones at this point, Cittarelli and Spadia, two Italians. Which one does Jersey really want? Which one can get over the finish line? You know what the tension is. One, arguably on the surface, seems more Trumpian than the other, but there's only one Trump. Remember that. Is that what's going to win in New Jersey? And we've had on already Matt Rooney, Ed Durr, Cittarelli, Harry Hurley at the Shore. And I would tell you behind the scenes, the people texting me that are in the infrastructure are feeling genuinely very, very good about their chances. But they realize the tension here of which one of these two is the one that's actually going to rouse people. And I will tell you this, they're buying in to Scott Presler as the guy when it comes to the secret weapon that's going to overrun New Jersey. And I'm so glad that he's made Wildwood the capital city of this, so to speak. And I hope you're down there. And I hope, you know, with Johnny Z Mulligans, the whole thing, it's going to be a spectacular summer to see this play out.
Sorry to drop this on you, Don, but we have some breaking news.
Yes. Oh, well, I didn't hear your news sounder.
Well, it's a different one because it's not real breaking news, but we'll play it off like it is.
Yeah, okay.
That being the vote has wrapped for the first matchup of the first round of Dom's show Caller of the Year, Dom.
All right.
And we have our result. Regrettably, Jimmy Matthews, who ran up the art museum in his boxers after losing a bet saying that Kamala Harris would win the election, has fallen, Dom, to Bill in Bucks County. Bill in Bucks County goes on to the next round, Dom, to take on none other than, oh man, this is a tough matchup, who got a first round by this guy, Joe of Exton. So Bill of Bucks now goes on to the next round, Dom, takes on Joe of Exton. He won that vote 70% to 30%.
Wow, Jimmy Matthews doesn't call us anymore. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know.
So who's up that people can vote on next?
Yep, so, you know, it's a flash round, Dom, until the end of the show. Go at Dom Show 1210 to cast your vote. Right now, we got the top left quadrant of the bracket out there. Gary in Newtown, and I bring that up and I break the news now because you mentioned Mulligans. Gary in Newtown, always down there. Mulligans,
yes.
One time show up with a giant Joe Biden face. Versus Allen, who's a female, in Yardley. Dom, why Allen?
Allen, frequent caller, provocative caller. I like her. She's always at our events. And behind the scenes, Dan, she sends a lot of information and really is inside the show. She always send stuff about you and Jim and Henry, etc. So a real inside player, not as frequent of a caller as, say, Gary of Newtown, but someone who is on the radar screen.
Cast your vote now at Dom Show 1210. You can vote until the end of the show today for this first round matchup between Gary in Newtown and Allen in Yardley. And again, Dom, Bill and Bucks takes that first round matchup between Bill and Bucks versus Jimmy Matthews. Now moving on to face Joe Vexen in the second round, which we'll get to after we finish these first round matchups.
All right, coming up, State Senator Michael Testa at the Jersey Shore. I'll ask him about all this stuff in the water here now, so to speak, in Jersey excitement. But also, he's leading the charge, saying what Phil Murphy did yesterday, so-called protecting these librarians and all this book banning stuff, is ridiculous. He'll explain next on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Momentarily, we'll go to State Senator Mike Testa, but let's get him on the record here. Jimmy Matthews. Heading off to the island of Elba, like Napoleon, with his drawers on today, though. Hey, Jimmy, what's your stance on this big loss?
That's okay. I don't mind it. I just wanted to ask you. Last weekend, Christian Walker interviewed Donald Trump, and even Donald Trump said that he was not president.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Welcome back for that. Thanks for being a good sport and being in the content and more. Thanks for running up the Art Museum stats. That was classy.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jimmy. Let's go to State Senator Mike Testa away from this frivolity here. Senator, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
It's so great to be on your show again to talk about such an important topic.
Well, absolutely. And I think you put it very pointedly, and I'm not sure how widespread they covered what you said, but WHYY did. They're a pretty liberal outlet, and at least they put both sides in here. They had you on this so-called book banning, saying, well, if you gave said books that are in contention, you were a neighbor and gave them the kids, you pretty clearly would violate Megan's Law.
That's exactly what I said. If your neighbor were to show your children books such as these with images such as these that are contained in the controversial books that we're talking about, they would be charged with a Megan's Law offense because they violate our state's obscenity laws.
Yeah. And again, that's all that's being asked here is a careful look at this. So in your view, what's the impact of this law before we get to how off it is? What will it do to push back against parents? Is it threatening in some way? Are there fines about? What does it do?
Well, it grants immunity to school librarians and staff if they give very controversial books which certainly contain obscene material in them to students at a school. Why would you grant civil immunity and immunity from criminal prosecution to individuals if they weren't doing something wrong? You only grant immunity from civil liability or criminal prosecution if, in fact, you're admitting that the materials that are being discussed are, in fact, obscene.
Yeah, a smaller point. Does this say, I'm not sure how this works, do the librarians have to consult with the school board when they choose these books, or are these librarians independent? Is that what they're pushing for here?
Well, they're certainly pushing the independency, and of course what they're saying is they're saying guys like Michael Testa are trying to ban books. No, we're not. If you're not 17 years old, you're not allowed to go see an R-rated movie. You're not allowed to buy a ticket for an R-rated movie because it's been deemed that there are materials and images that are inappropriate for individuals under 17 years old to view on a movie screen. Why would you grant immunity to anyone from showing children what amounts to pornographic material if it were shown to them by a neighbor or some other individual that's not in the school system? It really reeks. And, you know, it's interesting to me. I was brought up with a counterpoint. Well, this is why parents need to be vigilant so they can file the complaint about a book that they believe is contentious. I said, wait a minute. The Biden administration told parents who were attending school board meetings that they were domestic terrorists.
Exactly.
When parents showed up at school board meetings and they were reading books like Gender Queer, and had images from the same book, they were stopped from speaking about it because of the graphic material contained therein.
And what they've done, the news coverage, you've seen this, but for listeners, they've conflated some people who like the challenge, a novel or something that you and I may have read in school. There may be a scene or provocative. You're not about that. This is purely this subject matter. A lot of it seems to be around transgender issues. That seems to be where the contention is. So what is the next action that can take? Our parents, if there's immunity here with librarians, et cetera, what recourse do they have?
They need to be ever vigilant in watching what their children are checking out of their school libraries. And I say this, by the way, my wife is a school librarian in a public school. I'm not saying this as some uneducated individual as to what happens. I'm saying that these are obscene materials. The same material, if it's outside of the school, meets the very definition of our obscenity laws in the state of New Jersey. Otherwise, this law, the Freedom to Read Act, as it's named, would not need to grant anyone civil liability and immunity from civil liability and immunity from criminal prosecution. They wouldn't need that.
That is a great point. Yeah, why have that? If it's people sending hateful things to the librarian, well, if they're threatening, they could be prosecuted. The librarians wouldn't need anything else other than, I guess, the school district to be on board with this. But short of that, they don't need immunity.
Nobody should need immunity from criminal prosecution.
Right.
Don't you think that that is now self-giving, creating a special class of individuals then that are allowed to show extremely controversial, obscene, and pornographic materials to children?
Senator, that should be up
to the parents.
Senator Mike Testa with us. Your wife is a school librarian. So as she noticed, I think it was, I'm not sure if she's still in office, the head of the American Library Association was a Marxist or a socialist, at least recently. That president still may be there. What the heck does she think has happened with librarians?
You know, again, she's similar to me. She's not, you know, 100% lockstep with me all of the time, but she likes the argument that, hey, wait a minute, there's a rating system for movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my 8-year-old son can't watch a commercial for a horror movie that's rated R and then say, hey, Dad, drop me off at the movie theater. I want to go buy tickets.
That
doesn't work that way. Why should it be allowed in a school? And again, why shouldn't you have the parents involved with materials being distributed to their children that the parents deem controversial? And I'm glad that you brought that point up about the president of the American Library Association being a Marxist. Because Marxists believe that the state is in a better position to parent than the parents. That's exactly what this law says. It says that the school librarian knows what materials are better for your children than you do.
I'm nudging toward, too, maybe you're thinking, too, here, as we get to the governor's race and we see this happening this time around. This is a prime issue, and what it comes down to is the state government in this case, or any government, versus the parents. Parental rights in schools. We know what happened in Virginia to McAuliffe against Youngkin when he enunciated that. If one of these Democrats who's the nominee does that, I think this is a solid issue. We know affordability and everything else in the governor's race, but I know in your state there has been a lot of organization of parents against this stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the groundswell really started back in December of 19 and January of 2020, where, by the way, RFK Jr. was heavily involved. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was heavily involved with the attempt of the state to remove the religious exemption for mandatory vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, and look, this was pre-COVID, so this became even more controversial as COVID hit our shores. But we were way ahead of this controversy and way ahead of the issue where the state believed they were in a much better position to parent your children than the parents themselves.
Exactly. Now, we haven't talked with you, Senator Mike Testa, with us. But boy, I am getting texted around the clock here by the excitement of people that are in the infrastructure of the Republican Party about the opportunity in the governor's race.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think it's really ripe for a Republican to become our next governor. I think it's the Republicans' race to lose. I mean, you think about this, you know, Governor Phil Murphy was the first Democrat governor to get reelected since Brendan Byrne. And you take a look at that and you realize that this was an anomaly. And Jack Cittarelli came awfully close in 2021. And Jack is a dear friend of mine. And I will tell you this, that I think he needed to tap into that same vein that the governor of Virginia did, that we saw what happened in 2021 when you compare and contrast those two races.
Yeah, exactly. Will you be endorsing anytime soon, or have you endorsed? I'm unaware of it.
I can't. As a county chairman, okay, my Cumberland County bylaws prevent me from endorsing a candidate.
Okay.
Until the convention occurs.
But let me, you're one of the prime guys in my mind in New Jersey to know what it takes to win. I mean, you have principle, but you're also a winner, big time winner across your area. And I think knowledge of the rest of the state. So we see on the Democrat side, all kinds of people there, but on the Republican side, two major candidates. And which kind of candidate wins in Jersey? Trump did really well. But then there's the argument there's only one Trump, and going too far to what Trump might be able to do for a candidate versus somebody else who has the same principles, but not maybe is viewed in a Trumpian way. That's the way to go. What would you look at here in the primary?
So, I mean, in the primary, the primary voters are typically our smartest, most in touch voters that are. They're certainly tapping into all of the major issues of what their party should stand for. What I will say in a general election is this. I mean, I think we need a Republican that is unafraid to be Republican. You know, Kellyanne Conway, who is a friend of mine and I think an absolute fantastic strategist. I don't think anyone can argue with that. She has a saying, and I don't want to purloin it without giving her the credit, is you don't beat vanilla with French vanilla. I think far too many Republicans throughout this. I think far too many Republicans throughout the state of New Jersey have tried to be French vanilla. One of my sayings as a county chair is that elections are like a ninth grade English paper. You have to compare and contrast. And if voters see both individuals that are from different parties representing similar issues, they're just not excited. And I think, you know, unfortunately, in 2021, we saw 750,000 registered Republicans stay at home on Election Day and had 12% of them come out in 2021. Jack Cittarelli would have been the governor, and I think he would have made a fantastic governor. I will say that. I think he understands the issues. He understands the state budget. He understands the legislature. And Lord knows he's traveled throughout the state of New Jersey, up and down the turnpike, the parkway, and all of the nooks and crannies of our great state. But we need to make sure that there is, in fact, a major contrast between the Republican candidate and the Democrat candidate. And I think we'll hopefully continue that trend. Now, there are pundits that say there's going to be a Trump whiplash in the state of New Jersey because of how well President Trump did, that now there's going to be somewhat of a boomerang effect that the Democrat Party is going to coalesce behind one of the candidates and the party machine is going to come out very strong. I'm a firm believer that I don't believe that New Jerseyans are willing to take a Democrat governor for 12 years straight. I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's the other thing in the background. Well, Mike Testa, thank you very much. And thanks for your wife's input in that. I think you're on solid ground here. This is the bottom line out of our conversation is, why would you need immunity from criminal prosecution if you're not doing something that's potentially criminal here?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's a very simple question, and nobody's been able to answer that.
Absolutely. Well, have a great Christmas. Do come back again, Mike. Thank you. Thanks very much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners. Thank you.
All right, Dan, I couldn't tell by that. Is he with Cittarelli? He can't endorse. Did you get that, or did you get, is he with Spadia? I still think he's with Cittarelli, but I'm not sure, though, here, where it's going, you know?
I was hearing Cittarelli.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was hearing it up to a point there. Then he, you know, the French vanilla and vanilla, because the other guy is more Trumpian than Cittarelli is. This is going to be a fascinating battle here. Our buddy Mangione is shouting at a crowd as he enters court today in his latest go-round in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, Blair County. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hit us on the side question. Somebody that you is, Joe of Exton. Somebody that's in your tribe that's an embarrassment. I don't know. Does he have the question right there, Henry? I don't know. That's the answer? Yeah. All right. He's going to explain. And thanks to Jimmy Matthews not insisting on a recount here. Although he brought up Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live.
He definitely demanded to Henry he wanted a recount, but then he got I guess, with the prime real estate that he had, he wanted to make a point about Trump.
Any update on the voting? How's the voting going at this point?
I got it on a tab. I just got to find the tab here. So
The contest is...
at Dom Show 1210.
At Dom Show 1210.
Yep.
It's
here we go.
Gary of Newtown.
Gary Newtown versus Alan, the female in Yardley.
Not a guy.
Not a guy. I should put not a guy. Why didn't I?
Right.
60% Gary to 40% Alan at Dom Show 1210. Get voting.
All right, get voting right now. Hey, my friend, board certified prosthodontist Dr. Robert Bentz of the Bentz Dental Group in East Norriton is for 10 years, spectacular for the dental care that I get that we want you to have. That's what it comes down to. And the components of it, of course, as a dentist, this is the guy they send complex cases to. Other dentists do it routinely. We've talked about people that are fearful of the dentist, how he can cater to that, the stuff that he and his staff do. But he's always been in the forefront of technology, increasing technology. Both in the making of your teeth. Yeah, he has an artist, and the guy's name is John, that does that, along with the 3D printer for consistent results, no messing around, the convenience of it. But it's also the diagnosis. And I've told you that recently he discovered something that others had missed that was really serious. And it's because he can pinpoint things. This gives him a sense of how to proceed with you to show you exactly what can be done and to get your buy-in to move forward together to get great dental health. It's all there. All you have to do is give it an initial evaluation. You'll see what I'm talking about. And if you do have a problem right now, now is the time to get there. Dr. Bentz and his team at Bentz Dental Group provide solutions for the most complex dental cases. And think about it. If you're looking toward the new year, a new start, you want to get a dentist, make that appointment in January. You can do that. Call him at 610-272-6949. You can visit BentzDentalGroup.com to see what I'm talking about. Bentz Dental Group, say it with a smile. You do that by calling 610-272-6949.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program, which is another reminder at Dom Show 1210. The current voting for 2024 Caller of the Year is going on. That first round matchup was just wrapped up previously this hour, where Bill of Bucks County downed Jimmy Matthews. And in the second round, Dom, he takes on one of the all-time greats, a guy that's become a favorite of listeners and who happens to be on hold right now, Dom. So why don't you take that call?
I'm going to, but just a little thing here. Joe of Columbus, Dan, can't possibly win today, even though he's in the field. The guy's really getting on my nerves with his choice. Oh, my God.
I told him on the phone that this would be a point of contention.
This is a point of contention. He's taken one of the greatest Italians in history in my top 10
list. We are going to put up a matchup after the show as well, so maybe we put up Joe of Columbus's after hearing this call.
Yes, maybe put him on the bottom of the deck here. Sorry to say, he's a great caller, but this is too much. Let's go to Joe of Exton first, though, here on Talk Radio 1210. Well, Joe, they're gunning for you. You're on the Mount Rushmore so far. Let's see if the face gets defaced or not.
How do you feel about Bill of Bucks? You want to talk any trash there,
yeah,
Joe?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Yes, hello, Dom. Good afternoon. At the time when Leonid Brezhnev was ruling Russia, there appeared a protest movement in Poland under the leadership of Lech Wałęsa. The movement was called Solidarity. And Wałęsa would carry a large flag bearing the word Solidarity in Polish. Now, I heard rumors that he was actually a Russian plant.
Lech Wałęsa, a embarrassment to polls. Oh, my God. Joe, I'm telling you sincerely, I thought he was heroic. I've never heard that.
Well, I heard it once, but...
You might be right. You might be right,
no,
Joe.
I'm not doubting you, Joe.
I'm not doubting you. I'm just saying, you know, when you hear something like that, I'm usually pretty defensive. I have to admit it. Dan is less defensive, maybe more open. If I like somebody and I've always liked them and I hear something negative, I got to admit it, loyalty to the extreme, that's a flaw. I just go into defensive mode. Over Lech Walesa, I'm not sure, though.
Well, I didn't hear very much more about it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Joe. Dan, I don't know if that's a flaw or not, but I go into, well, you know, Dan Borowski is not necessarily, that's it. Get, you know, I believe in loyalty to the extreme. If you're loyal to the person, you got to have loyalty. That's it.
Before the break, you should really take Joe of Columbus as well.
Yeah, let's take Joe of Columbus. Linda Kern's in the on-deck circle, but Joe of Columbus might be out of the family. But I don't even think there is a Columbus, New Jersey. I think he's making it up.
Well, Joe, he's that Italian he wants to
Yeah, know. That's it. Joe, welcome in.
Boy, was I warned about this receiver.
Oh, man, on now.
Holy macaroni, Tom. Let me smooth things over first. That interview with Senator Testa was incredible, especially the point he made about Megan's Law and this banning of the banning. That was
well, thank you. Thank you.
Softening him up before the blow.
He's right, too. The bottom line, why do we need to indemnify librarians from criminal prosecution if they're not choosing books like Lawn Boy and these other things? My God.
Exactly. Now, my side question answer is an affront, not just to me, and not but to the Italians who like the Olive Garden and the cute little Megan Zioli who does things with her heart, love, and soul. And that's Chef Boyardee. He turned an Italian delicacy into fast food.
Oh, my God. But just think what he did for... Busy Americans, though. You can't see it that way.
Tor Biordi, he spread the love of Italian food to those who might not be able to access
it. That's right. They're not all Italian, Joe. They don't have the spoon in the house and all that stuff, you know?
You said to me and my tribe, I mean, yes. I could put that stuff out on my back deck and the squirrels won't eat it. I saw it, Dom. I saw his history on, was it the Discovery Channel, the History Channel? But it's always mixed in with McDonald's, Burger King, Hardee's. So that tells me where it all stands. I'm a pasta lover. I apologize.
No, that's fine. No, I think it's an inspired choice.
One fact about the chef himself, a really well-renowned chef, Chef Boyardee, actually at one point supervised the preparation of the homecoming meal served by Woodrow Wilson at the White House for returning World War I soldiers.
Ah, Joe's against returning World War I soldiers here. There you go.
Are they still serving that meal?
Still good.
So, Joe, who is it?
And a lot of it actually began because he wanted to serve rations to soldiers in World War II, actually receiving a Gold Star Order of Excellence.
Oh,
look at this guy, against
man.
Gold Star Orders of Excellence.
Against
too.
Chef Boyardee. Who knew?
Well, next time you talk about an entrepreneur who gets government subsidy, I'll put his name in on the positive side.
Oh, I get this. All right, Joe. All right, we will not hold that against him. We might get vote. That was inspired. That was good stuff. That was a great call. I see it. Robert and Ben Salem, too. Can't go to him yet, but Robert, we're coming to you. He's got the all-time name that I loathe, but it's so classically Italian and one of the worst Italians in history.
He said as much.
Exactly.
That.
Oh, I say it. I've said this name before because it just reeks of the stereotypes and all that. You don't even know the story with this guy. When you hear the story,
I had him explain me a little bit.
Oh, my God, yes. All right, I don't blame him. It was the woman or the girl, whichever one you prefer. It was a Long Island story, I think. Okay, coming up, Linda Kearns. We'll see who she answers on the side question. Is she moving forward now? What are her initiatives moving forward? I know that she is. Wanted to update that because she was in the article that I featured about the people that actually won Pennsylvania in 2024 for President Trump in the forefront. She's next. 855-839-1210. You get in.
Tom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon. On Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.